Let us pray.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, tonight we are here because of St. Luke. He is called St. Luke the Evangelist because he is credited with writing the Gospel according to St. Luke. So that word evangelist comes from the evangel or gospel, right? So whenever we have a feast day that's an evangelist, that's either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Those are the four that wrote the Gospels. Luke was a companion of St. Paul, which suggests he was a convert of St. Paul as well. So we see him first come into the gospel narrative, not at the gospel, but in the book that records the early church activities right after the Gospels, the Acts of the Apostles. So about the 16th chapter, we see St. Luke appear. And all of a sudden, you also notice that the pronouns go from he to we. So St. Luke was a traveling companion of Paul. He was born in Antioch, so not only was Luke, he appears later in the story, but he's a Gentile. He's not a Jewish person. And so his is the only gospel that's written by a Gentile. And if you read his gospel, you'll note that there's a lot of explanations in there for Jewish tradition. And instead of using Jewish words, he uses words that are recognizable to the Gentiles. So his gospel is one of the more universal of all the four gospels. Because of his association with St. Paul, the gospel of Luke is often referred to as the gospel according to Paul as well. So it's written by authority of Paul. Now, from one of Paul's letters, Colossians chapter 4, we have Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So that's from Paul. He has Luke with him. He also has Demas. And so he calls him the beloved physician. So this is where we get the idea that Luke was a physician. He studied medicine. He tried to help people and heal people. It's also interesting that in the Timothy passage that we read, that Luke was the only one that remained with Paul. Demas is with Paul here, but in that Timothy passage, Demas has left. Right, so we also get a sense of the faithfulness and just the loyalty of Luke as well. And if you saw the email that I sent out last night, I mentioned that Luke is often shown in icons as painting a picture of the Virgin and the child and the Christ child. So what's interesting about this is that legend has it that he was the first one who actually painted an image of Mary. Of course, at that time, Jesus was no longer on the earth. He had ascended into heaven. So there are various churches throughout the world that claim to have an icon painted by St. Luke. So he's known as a painter. But it's also interesting to note that in his Gospels, he is the only one that gives an account of the nativity stories. So all the information that we have of the Holy Family's travel to Bethlehem, of the shepherds and the angels and the wise men that came, and the songs that we sing, Mary's song, the Magnificat, that's all from the Gospel of St. Luke. So in a sense, he is a painter of Mary with the baby Jesus, but he's painting with words for sure. Now, of course, the tradition is that he also painted with brushes and made icons as well. So just an interesting fact about Luke. So not only is he a keen observer of the human condition and trying to cure humanity, but he also records the human condition in art. And that art is words as well as painting. So Luke is known as the patron saint of doctors and of artists as well as a result of that. This eye for detail that he has, that we suppose that he has, comes through in his Gospels. He is actually considered to be very accurate in his portrayals of historical facts during the time. So he's one of the first, the first biblical historian, but he's also counted among a pretty reliable source. Now, secular historians will look at him and they come to history with a bias that miracles can't happen. And so they read Luke, and Luke records the miracles of Jesus, and so they discount him. But in a lot of the small details, people who are familiar with that time will read it and realize that, oh, for this centurion, he's using the correct name for this governor. He uses the surname, right? So there's just some historic, which would be historically accurate for that period of time. So Luke writes not only the gospel according to St. Luke, but also the Acts of the Apostles, right? That book where he shows up halfway through. It's interesting when you read the beginning of St. Luke, the gospel, it starts like this. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So Luke has gone and interviewed eyewitnesses and recorded what they said, and then has set that narrative out for us. So he is an investigator, right? He's that keen observer of history. And he's addressing this book to Theophilus. So we'll come back to that in a moment. He begins the Acts of the Apostles in a similar way. This is the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So again, he is writing to encourage Theophilus, the same person in both books, to be strong in the faith. He's saying, I have talked to the eyewitnesses. I have verified these things for myself. This is strong testimony for the person of Jesus Christ in the narrative of the Gospels. This isn't just made up. Luke actually went and talked to these people. It's historical fact. Now, the question I want to come back to is, who is this Theophilus? Because we really don't have record of this as being an actual person. Well, in Greek, this means lover of God. Theo, God. Philio, love, right? Lover of God. So it might not be a specific person, but a more general address to everybody who reads his writing. That if you're interested in this writing, then you are a lover of God because you want to find out the truth for yourself. And I'm confirming to you that I've investigated this for myself. But so this, by default, poses to us a couple of questions. Luke is asking to each one of us, are we lovers of God? Will we accept his carefully researched narrative? He's saying he's speaking truth. He's investigated these things for himself. He tells us of Jesus' compassion for outcasts and penitents. They turn to Jesus. They became lovers of God by becoming lovers of Jesus. So will we follow their example, living each day in greater love of God and greater submission to Christ? And this, of course, is the challenge of the gospel to all of us. You know, many of us in this world are so wrapped up with our daily activities, and we have to do this, we want to do this, we want to do this. And so where is God in that? Where do we decide to spend time with God? Sometimes we just need to put aside those priorities and come together and worship or find some quiet and pray. You know, so many people say, oh, that's interesting, but I really know time. You know, I need to research for myself, which is really a way of just deferring things. Right? You know, there's no intent there necessarily to do that. Some people say, well, I'm scientific, right? I think of those historians that discount Luke's testimony because he records miracles. But that's a presupposition, that's a bias that they bring into their reasoning, which blinds them in a lot of ways. You know, we have all kinds of excuses. You know, for us tonight, you know, many of us, we claim to be Christian, but maybe we don't really want to be that committed. Maybe we want to keep Jesus at arm's length. You know, he's great, but, you know, I just don't want him interfering in my life. I don't want him placing demands upon my life. And let's face it, even for those who are committed to Christ, we all have those feelings sometimes. We want to carve out that spot. It's like, Jesus, don't touch this here. But if we do that, can we really say that we are lovers of God? Can we take that title of Theophilus and apply it to ourselves? You know, I want to go deeper into God, deeper into Jesus Christ, to know him more, to love him more, because I know that's where true joy is to be found. And that's where I hope all of us want to be. Tonight, we give thanks for the ministry of St. Luke. As baptized believers, we've started that journey. But may we not be satisfied with the status quo in our life. May we always want more of Jesus. May our imaginations be always shaped more profoundly by God. And by our actions, may we merit that name, Theophilus, lover of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.